They say it's lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. Nobody's invincible, no plan is foolproof. We all must meet our moment of truth. The same shiesty cats that you hang with and do your thing with could set you up and wet you up. Nigga, peep the language, it's universal. You play with fire, it may hurt you or burn you. Lessons are blessings you should learn through. Let's face facts. Although MCs lace tracks, it doesn't mean behind the scenes there ain't.
And welcome to another Red Leaf Retrocast episode. It's episode 101, console launch titles. Joey, just you and me today.
Yep, sorry for the fans.
Ah, it's all right. Just the two of us is totally fine. We're 2 weeks late. I had a bowling tournament a couple weeks ago.
How'd that go?
I'm still waiting on the results. It's very wacky.
How's that work out?
Well, the guy running it is pretty sketch, to be honest. But the short story is, I think I got like 62nd place out of 300 people. So didn't do too bad, but I didn't do too good either.
That's your first tournament in a while, though, isn't
it? My first tournament in like 2 years, yeah. Or a year and a half.
Yes, that's that. You're rusty.
Well, the thing is, I bowled pretty well. I bowled a 7-13 series. So, you know, I had the score to be up there. But there's some controversy between how handicap was calculated, and I was like, why is this a handicap tournament? I wasn't informed of this. There's a whole thing behind the logistics of it all, and now there's like, I assume there's an investigation behind it.
Was it for money or just...
Yes, oh yeah, it's just for money. And that's why, yeah, it's a money through, it's a straight up like amateur pro tournament through the USBC. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's some problems there. There's also problems with if the lanes were like past the legal standard. It's a whole process. It's whack, but I'm bowling really well lately. I not this past Wednesday, but before that, like I'm averaging like 223 across the board. So I'm doing pretty good these days. Still got it.
Not too bad. Not too bad. I need to up those numbers though. I need to see back. Like I need average like 270.
Well, I didn't average that, but yeah, one of the big hangups I've had lately is I'm not getting enough scores over that 240 range, and that's what's really holding me back.
Gotta get good.
Yeah, I'm too consistent in the 225, you know, 215, 230 range. I need the high score to keep making it to later rounds or moving up the table.
What you need is a montage. That should help you.
Gonna need a montage.
Got a good montage down. You'll get up 250, 260, 270. If you get a good enough montage, you'll be pulling 300s constantly.
Yeah, there was 1 week I did extraordinarily well. I had like a 270, 260, a 250. Haven't repeated that since. It's tough. But video games. That's why we're here.
Is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the rumor. What you been playing, buddy?
New World.
Okay, there's been some controversy behind that game. Mainly, it's like broken or some shit? Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of broken things. I forget which manufacturer, 3080s and 3090s can blow up. Physically, like they start fire. It fucked with my drivers with AMD, but I just reinstalled it and I haven't had an issue since, so that's not too bad. There's a lot of glitches. Right now there's an issue where people are mass reporting players and they get auto banned. Oh. Because Amazon's stupid, and I don't know how they thought that was a good idea.
Oh my god.
So that's being abused right now. So when there's wars between two factions, they just abuse it and make sure the other faction gets banned so you can win the war. Like, I don't know why they thought, oh, this person got reported 10 times, so let's just ban it without looking at it. Like, come on. You didn't
there's
think
no
people
vetting
were
process.
Be sent?
There's no, it's just, yeah. Oh, okay, he's reported 10 times, ban him, fuck it. Oh,
yep, they have
terrible.
A bot that bans it. Yep, once you hit that number. I don't know what number it is, but.
There was a bunch of people in Discord kind of playing it. From the podcast, and they were talking about how it was like tough to log in. It won't accept it. The whole,
there's a lot of queue issues early on with like a lot of games, but they increased the server size. Wow. And number of servers. I'm not playing on a high pop server, so I don't have any issues. I'm always able to log in. So that's not an issue. I mean, it's just a fun grinding game for me. Just pop on, watch a movie, chop down some trees until you get enough levels and whatnot. So I'm only level 30, so I'm not playing it too intensely.
Sometimes you need a game like that.
Yeah, it's just a mindless game to play. I've been popping on, talking to my friends that are also playing, and sometimes we group up and kill things. Other than that, we're just chopping or mining or harvesting. So it's just a, as my friend Brett says, it's a popcorn game. Something you can just relax and play.
I like that description.
So yeah, I mean, I know there's bugs, but I think they're funny. I had one when I was encumbered. I was supposed to be walking, but he ended up kind of skipping on one leg and sliding and ice skating through. So it was pretty funny. My friend fell through the world when he was mining. So there's definitely a lot of bugs. Amazon clearly is a new game developer and they have to fix a lot of shit. But yeah, I think it's pretty fun for now.
So I got a question for you. You've played Phasmophobia a time or two.
Yes, I have.
Have you heard of Haunt Chaser?
I have not heard of Haunt Chaser.
Have you heard of Ghost Hunters Corp?
Yes, I actually bought that and returned on Steam because it was broken as hell.
Okay. I played both of those because I was so curious because Phasmophobia was such a... It was just the hot game of the time, and now we got like two that are... Like, Ghost Hunters Corp is almost exactly like that.
Yeah, but that one is you have to like actually vanquish the ghosts.
Yes. So yeah,
a little harder and more intense, but I went in there thinking multiplayer, but they didn't have multiplayer at the time, and then there was audio issues, and I just returned it. I was like, it's just unplayable for me.
There are some audio issues I experienced. It's not as scary as Phasmophobia. That's what throws me off.
Some of them can be. I watch people play. There's like the, I guess, shadow creatures. I don't know the name of it. But some of them can just like pop up right in front of you. So they don't like have the same rules.
No.
And I think they can out into your camper.
They can, yeah.
So I think the castle level, they can get pretty creepy.
I played like the Japanese shrine, and there was like a, I can't say it's a crypt. But it was a catacomb. It was like a catacomb, basically. And there was a child ghost, and he was like crawling on the ceiling. Like, that shit was cool. It was more of you're confronting and fighting the ghost rather than Phasmophobia is the looming presence of the ghost. But it had gimmicks and gadgets to it all.
Plus, like, the Ghostbuster shit that you have to use.
Yeah. I think the coolest thing that it had was you have to, if you exorcise the ghost, you have to actually read the script.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And hope your audio isn't broken, because it may not register.
So there was a time when we're trying to guess if it was a demon or not. And one of the key points to identifying it's a demon is if it kills a teammate or... something else is supposed to happen. Friend was explaining it to me where the ghost will laugh maniacally, but because the audio is broken with a lot of the ghosts, that you just don't hear the laugh sometimes. There's a lot of things like that. And then Haunt Chaser, I think you should look into. That is almost like it's more noise based, but the ghosts are very aggressive to you.
Oh, it just came out 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's got mixed reviews right now.
Yeah, it's. I would say the gameplay is hit and miss with it. But
is
you have
co-op
to
actually working.
I mean, yeah, it works. It's more focused on defense of the ghost. So you're trying to essentially close a portal, like it's Poltergeist or something.
Yeah.
You're trying to close a portal to hell. And you're going from, like, let's say it's house to house on a farm, like, and I think it's a randomized map, I think. Could be wrong. But the ghost is very aggressive to you, so you have a lot of defensive mechanisms to it. Like, you get in a house, you can put on a barrier to the doorway, and the ghost can't get in. You have a gadget that can emit like a super light and it'll scare the ghost away temporarily. But you only have a finite amount of those, so it's you and your three friends trying to have like one person survive to close that gate at the end. So it's interesting. There's, you know, there's three games, Ghost Hunters, Haunt Chaser, and Phasmophobia, and they're all related to each other. Obviously, they're more related to Phasmophobia. They all came out after that, but it's, I always find it, this is what we experience with Battle Royale games, where one game gets popular and then others try to make the formula unique to each other or different or the same and improve upon parts. And this is super fascinating. How can we make a ghost hunting game unique to us and popular?
Yeah, it looks like Phasma is going to have a Halloween update coming out soon. At least on their Trello, it has it in progress.
Yeah.
And I think they're working on even more ghost types.
Yeah, I over the last couple weeks, last month, I guess, I've been really into watching, just having a Let's Play of one of these three games on and just watching random people just fail at it. It's really funny.
We need to play some Phasma. Have you played in a while?
I haven't played Phasmophobia in a long time. I played some of the
you
House
need
Hunters.
To. It's way creepier.
Or Ghost Hunters.
Because they added more audio. They revamped a lot of the audio stuff. They changed a lot of the tools and how they work and interact. So it can be way creepier. And then the hunts are just harder.
Yeah.
So so we need to play sometime.
I'm also not good at these games. I'm pretty crap at controls.
Yeah, make me laugh watching you die.
Yeah, I'll have to. Practice makes perfect. That's the whole idea behind that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you play Undertale, Joey?
No, I did not.
You know what Undertale is, though, right?
Yes.
Do you know Deltarune?
Yes, I do. No, I do not know Deltarune.
So Deltarune Chapter 1 and 2 are free. 1 came out a few years ago. 2 just came out. And I'm very close to beating it. It is a sequel, not a sequel, to Undertale. RPG, goofy, parody type thing. It's very heavily influenced by Earthbound, et cetera, et cetera. I could read off, you know, why it all is. But the point is, it's totally free. You get, like, if you get Chapter 1 and 2, it's like 6-7 hours right there. It's well worth it. Get it on your Switch if you want to go mobile. I recommend it on the Switch, actually. So I know you have a Switch, Joey, or at least your significant one does.
Yeah.
Try it out. I'd recommend it. I'm very close to beating Chapter 2. It's a lot of fun. It was a game that was just supposed to be kind of this pet project with the guy, and Chapter 1 got so... It was so beloved by the fans, and they wanted him to continue it. He's just like, all right, I guess I'll make the rest of the game, or more of it. Because Chapter 1 has a more or less ending to it, but you could see them continuing off in like some other realm of the universe, and that's kind of what they do with Chapter 2. It's Chapter 1 and 2 kind of function as, it feels like two separate games, just the shorter side, but they're together. And he's now going to make Chapter 3, 4, 5 all together as a release, and release 1 through 5 as one game that you can buy. Actually, I think it's kind of cool. The first two chapters are free, and then you can get the whole game later. That's neat.
So it gives you a taste, and then he sucks you in to actually have to pay for it?
Yeah, it's a fun story, though, because it wasn't meant to be anything. It wasn't meant to be anything more than that Chapter 1 in the first place, and it's just kind of evolved into, it's like, all right, if you guys want more, I guess I'll make it.
yep. He just suckered you in.
I don't know.
Got you right where he wants you.
It's a lot of fun. I'd pay for it. I will pay for it. And then Metroid Dread came out on Friday. Another Switch game. My Nintendo Switch getting a lot of love in 2021. It's almost like a PS5 doesn't actually exist, and I can't buy one still.
Because it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Neither does the Xbox.
Nope, not at all.
Did I tell you about the Best Buy experience I had recently?
No.
Okay. So a couple weeks ago, I guess it was 3 weeks ago now, a day or two before this happened, there was a big like press release from Best Buy that is like, hey, we got Xboxes and PS5s. They're going to be in stores. Just line up and come in early. It's first come, first serves. I'm like, well, this is what they should have been doing since launch, but, you know, pandemic. But now that everything's pretty much lifted at this point in time, just make a bunch and throw them in a bunch of stores. But it's neither here nor here. The point is, they were going to have PS5s and Xboxes, but they didn't tell you how many were going to be in the stores And thank God for the guy at the Best Buy that I went to, because Joey, you know me. I wake up for work at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Best Buy does not open at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I, you know, my job's pretty loose in a lot of ways. Like, hey, you know, something came up, I can just call and it's like, I'll be in work later and I'll just stay later kind of deal. As long as you don't abuse it, it's not a big deal. So I'm like, all right, I'll wake up my normal for work. I'll go check out the Best Buy on my way to work. Just take a detour, and I'm there at like 5:20 in the morning, Joey. And there was like 40 people outside already. I'm going, fuck. I'm not getting this thing. So I just kind of walk up, and I was like, all right, maybe who knows? Maybe it's my lucky day. Maybe this Best Buy, I don't know, got 50 PS5s and 50 Xboxes. wishful thinking.
Yeah.
This dude at Best Buy just goes, all right, for anyone arrived in the next 5 minutes, you're not getting one. We only have 10 of each console. I was like, well, there's more people than that in line. And the line's growing, and I got here too late at 5:20 in the morning.
You should have just camped out overnight.
Dude, I'm not doing that. I got a life.
Do you, though? You don't have a life with a PS5, though.
I do. Well, God damn it. You're right. So that was my experience. Still no PS5. I'm still devastated. And I'm still... And I'm not buying any new games because of that. So... Sony and Xbox really going through the superconductor shortage harshly, and they're not really combating the scalper problem really at all.
No, because they don't care.
They don't care. They're just selling them anyways. It makes no difference to them. But I was reading an article out of Denmark, and I was discussing a lot of this on the Frenemy Fire podcast, Console Kev. I was guest over there. Go check him out. He's got a Patreon. Ooh. I'm a Patreon subscriber, you should be too. He and I were discussing this paper out of Denmark where, I'm getting a little off topic here, but the point is, the short story is, it was the concept of software development to, now the purpose of gaming isn't so much the hardware upgrades, it is the purpose of continuing to evolve and innovate in gaming with the software upgrades now. So we have to look at the generational advances less so in the hardware sense and more in the software sense. So if you don't continue to evolve and go to the next generation and encourage people to be a part of the advancement of the industry, then you will stagnate and the industry will regress to the point where it's no longer profitable, and that leads it to a path very similar to, not in the exact similarity sense of what Atari went through, but in the sense that the supply and demand of people wanting your product will regress to the point where it's no longer viable. So I found that article fascinating.
Xbox is smart. There's pretty much just a PC and a box. And so most of the games you can also get on PC. So they went more of, hey, we're making it so you can play on your computer or TV, but you don't need it. Just come buy it from us. Just buy our games.
Yeah.
And that seems to be probably the best route going forward.
It's kind of the only route right now because people are still having such an issue buying the new gen. A number of issues, of course. We've already been there, done that, talked about it. The interesting thing that's happening now after a year of the consoles being out at this point is now publishers with their games are coming to two conflicts. One conflict is they're concerned their video games aren't selling as well, which they aren't, because people can't buy them. The console, even though the console is technically selling. Technically,
I think that's how you can start with the scalper problem, is when game developers are pissed off that no one's buying their game. It's because all these consoles are being sold, but they're not being used. So that pressure on Sony might make a change.
Right. And then the other issue is this concept of Game Pass. While good for gamers, it's becoming a question of how much money or profit margin do these publishers and developers truly make off of the subscription model? Is that more, and with the new gen, it's really becoming a topic of something to pay attention to, is how much profit are they losing or gaining compared to a physical media or even a digital distribution solely on the console, not in a Game Pass sense, but in the sense of you buy and own the game. That's a fascinating thing to pay attention to going forward as well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. Metroid Dread came out, though. Joey, you've played a Metroid or two, haven't you?
I mean, only really for the podcast. Mm.
But you're familiar.
Not really. Yeah.
So Metroid Dread is the newest Metroid game. Came out on Nintendo Switch last Friday. And I'm not too far into it, but I fucking love this game already. The presentation, the feel to it, the mechanics, everything is Metroid, but there's one gimmick added to it now. And you got asshole robots coming for your ass. The shtick to this, Joey, is you are Samus, and you are not strong enough to beat the robot asshole. Because this robot will come out of nowhere. It is scripted, but it'll come out. It just, like, drops from the ceiling. I'm here, bitch, and I'm coming for you. And you go, oh, fuck. I can't fight you yet. I'm not strong enough. And it's almost like the dude in Resident Evil 2 coming for you. You know what I'm talking about?
Which one? The Nemesis?
Yeah, that's three. But yeah, we'll go with Nemesis.
More like the Lick Lick or whatever it's called.
Oh.
I'm trying to think about who was in two that was following
The dude with a hat.
Dude with that hat?
Yeah.
Honestly, don't remember.
We'll go with Nemesis.
Huge that one.
So you know how Nemesis chases you in Resident Evil 3 and it's like this constant sense of dread? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they're scripted events where it will show up. It's the same concept in Metroid Dread. This robot comes and it's 2D, so now it's a runaway scene because you can't fight the robot. And the frustration, the controversy of frustration with some of these gamers is it's such a change of the Metroid formula because you can't fight back. So the object is to run away, and you have to run away so precisely that he can't catch you. And people are dying because he caught him. It's different. I love it because it's something new to the Metroid. It makes it very unique. And eventually, obviously, you're going to be able to finally fight the robot and say, fuck you, asshole, I'm beating your ass. Kind of like in Resident Evil 3 with Nemesis. I will finally get enough weapons or grenades and I can just pound this dude.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. I can't recommend Metroid Dread enough. I haven't played it enough to say like the later game gets too hard or what have you, but my initial impression of Metroid Dread is it's a lot of fun. You won't be disappointed. And reviews, it's getting rave reviews across the board. I haven't heard anybody speak negatively about it. I've just been asked a question. Oh, what do you think of its difficulty? I've heard it's hard. Yeah, it's not hard in the sense that you get frustrated and pissed off and will throw the game down. It's not like that. Not even close. Do we have anything else, Joey?
I don't think so.
Don't think so? 23 minutes in? Hey, look at that. We cut some time. I guess I will... I gotta get a drop going here. What's going on? Oh, man. Gaming. All right. Donkey Kong theme song. I think that's appropriate. We're talking console launch titles. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It's got to load up. Stupid thing. There we go. All right. So we did a console's launch title episode before. So this is the sequel. Haha. And boy, do we have a host of games here.
Yeah. Everything is on a different console, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything was a launch title on a different console. This was Kay's pick. Kay is a member of the Wrestling Podcast, and this will be our last episode doing five games. I think we're going to try a slightly different format going forward. Make it a little bit easier on the host, make the podcast maybe a little bit shorter, a little bit easier on us. Don't want to get too crazy. Concentrate on, you know, a couple games rather than a slew of games. I think we've covered a lot at this point in the podcast, and now we can kind of chillax a little bit. So the idea of Console Launch Titles 2 was just revisiting. We've done it enough. And Kay picked Joey, what did you think of the overall theme in the games chosen? What was your impression?
They're all over the place.
That's true. That's very true.
I mean, some good, some bad. One of them I never played, and I still didn't get to play for issues. But I don't know. We got a wide net of gaming here, so we kind of covered everything.
All right. I guess I'll go through the first three, and you can do the last two. How does that sound?
Okay.
So Kay's first pick was Perfect Dark Zero on the Xbox 360, our first 360 game. How appropriate, and it's a launch title.
That makes sense.
And we spoke on the last podcast a little bit over Perfect Dark when we were comparing GoldenEye on our classics-themed episode. Developed by Rare, published by Microsoft, so this is one of the first games where Microsoft bought Rare. This came out November 2005. Was not released in Japan because Xbox is not popular in Japan. This game didn't, I mean, it was all about, yeah, it was not good. It's not bad either, I would say, but it lacks soul to me.
And the controls are just so terrible. Like, I'm pretty sure it's the era where they decided that you need to mix up your, like, look and movement joysticks instead of keeping them separate.
Yep.
So this had, like, left-right look, but with forward back movement and left right strafe with up and down looking, and I'm like, it just doesn't work. I don't understand how I used to play games back then. Like, it just feels so alien to me now. I just can't do it. I'm not smart enough anymore.
It's a very wacky control scheme to get used to, and this is just going back to 2005, and it's amazing. It's 16 years ago at this point. And even taking that aside, the game was very cinematic. It's very, hey, here's our next gen, very focused on that. And then when you get into even the initial thing, it wants you to pick a loadout. I go, I don't know what any of this means. There's no rhyme or reason to it all. And then you go into the game itself, and it's just this soulless James Bond. It felt like they were going for more GoldenEye than Perfect Dark.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like a Perfect Dark game. They just slapped it on there. And it's a prequel, yet there's more mechanics than there was in the first game. So somehow Joanna Dark forgot how to dodge and do other shit.
She's also not British anymore.
So I think that, I'm interested to see if this really was supposed to be a Perfect Dark game from the beginning, or they just slapped it on some other spy game that they were working on.
Let's see here. Development. I don't want to read all that. I don't care. use the original or the new Havoc engine. Okay. Let's click on the Havoc engine. That does sound familiar. What other games use the Havoc engine? Why is there not a list? I feel like there should be a list for these things. Oh, well. So back to the game being soulless. It's really just, it slaps you on a map, and you have your loadout of three weapons, and they're very generic. I know reviews say, hey, it's a very unique set of guns, but it was just, here's a sniper, here's a handgun, and you have a melee attack, and the melee attack is one hit kill. So you kind of spam that the whole time. it throws you in missions that make you use your little gadgets, and you just rinse and repeat the same formula map to map. And I mean, I had to play this on an emulator. It didn't work very well, so I'm not counting the experience of lag and all that. I'm throwing that aside. I'm just going through the map, and there was every level felt the same. Every enemy felt the same. Every mission felt the same. And despite it being looking good for 2005, that's not enough.
Yeah, and also didn't like the girl on the comms. I think she talked too much. The music was too loud during gunfights, that it just felt like, is there really a gunfight going on, or am I just like dancing with guns shooting around? Like, it just, there's a lot of small things that just took me out of like being a spy.
Yeah. The AI was not impressive in the game. They just kind of stood there, didn't really take cover. Like
when they yelled out, "Oh, this is our chance. She's reloading. Cool. Thanks to let me know you're going to shoot me." Like, I'm going to hide now.
Yeah, it was very weak. It didn't, graphics felt like next gen, but that was it. And that's something with launch titles that you really got to try to avoid. Is okay, graphics are all fun and good, but your gameplay needs to match it feeling like next gen. And I'm really curious, when I play the new Ratchet and Clank, if I ever get a PS5, how much does the gameplay feel like it's next gen over the graphics? I'm definitely taking a lot of consideration with that Denmark article. okay. Maybe I'll just put my mindset out of the graphics sense of it all and say, how is the value of the gameplay? Does that really make it feel like the next generation is here? And I got to say, Perfect Dark Zero did not do that with me.
Yeah, not at all.
So I think I'm going to fail Perfect Dark Zero, actually.
Oh, I'm failing it. I'm definitely failing it.
Yeah, not good.
Especially since playing this game, reading up, it looks like they're doing a remake of Perfect Dark. So,
the original?
Yeah, so hopefully that comes out soon. I know they just made announcements this year about adding some people to the team in the production, so don't know when it's supposed to come out, but I know it's in the works. So
it says it's an 11-hour game, more or less, and if you are a 360 collector, Perfect Dark Zero goes for about $6, so it's very cheap. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still worth $6.
I mean, if you're into the collecting for 360 games, I could guess justify it, but I mean, it's a launch title. You always want a little launch title in your collection. Okay. Kay's second pick was kind of out of left field here. Dave Mira Freestyle BMX 2. Released on the PS2, August 2001. Launch title.
Surprised it was a launch title.
Yeah, I mean, it eventually came out on like the GameCube and whatnot, like a month later. But
yeah, because the other one, Dave Mirra, the first one came out a year before, and it was on PlayStation. So.
Yeah, we're not talking launch title exclusives. It's just it was at the same time the console came out, and this was the game that came out with it.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a Tony Hawk game?
Yep, I actually even played the original Dave Mira Freestyle BMX game. So I never got the second one, but I did play the shit out of the first one.
Well, have you ever played a bad Tony Hawk game?
Yeah. There's a few bad ones in there.
There's a few bad ones. Dave Mira BMX 2 is not a bad game, but it's definitely not a good game. But it plays the exact same way as a Tony Hawk game.
There's issues, but I mean, I think this game's playable. I really enjoyed it.
I was not impressed. I thought I was just playing an inferior Tony Hawk game with bad level layout.
The levels were way too big.
I hated the level layouts, and that's what really just took me out of it.
But I liked, like, I don't know if Tony Hawk at that time, I don't know what game they were up to, but
I think it was Tony Hawk 3, which was one of the best of the generation.
But did that one have, we had to go actually talk to people to get some?
Yeah, they were already so far innovating at that point that Dave Miro felt like it was two games behind when it came out.
Let's see. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 came out 2001.
Yeah, there you go. Same year.
Let me see. But I don't think you talk to people to get missions in that game.
No, I think that was the one where you can now like get off the skateboard. We covered it on the podcast. You can get off the skateboard and kind of do more parkour type stuff. Get to other areas. So,
that was interesting. You could talk to like different people around the track for Dave Mirra and find out like the hidden pro, whatever the hell they call it, objectives.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought the map was too big, way too big, especially the first one where you're trying to find four ladders. I could only find three ladders. Ugh. I don't know where that fourth ladder is.
Pain in the ass.
But I mean, I liked it. I liked the music. It's a decent BMX game.
You know, I think the game's strength is actually its park creator.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then if you have a problem with the level layouts like I did, you can make your own and have a lot of fun that way. So in that sense, I think it's a winning formula, but you really got to find, I think having to find your own niche inside the game that you enjoy is kind of asking a lot out of a player. You kind of want to rope them in immediately, and then over time they find the extra modes that keep you playing for years to come. Kind of like in the wrestling games, you can open up a singles match, and then over time you go, okay, there's creator mode, and then there's Royal Rumble, and then there's all these other modes that you slowly discover over time, then you find your kind of favorite one and go from there. Dave Mirra has that, but doesn't rope me in immediately because it just felt like a low rent Tony Hawk game. Maybe I'm being too harsh on it.
I mean, I liked it. It reminds me of the first game when I used to play it, so I still enjoyed it. I mean, it's clunky. There's issues with landing and shit like that. But, I mean, Tony Hawk had those issues too. So, I mean, Tony Hawk was more polished, but they also had way more money. So, Tony Hawk was more of a household name than Dave Mirra was.
I mean, this was published by Acclaim, so they didn't like not have any money.
I know, but I mean, it's not like they're going to put everything into it when Tony Hawk stardom and name power is way more than Dave Mirra was.
All right, so this was developed by Z-Axis. Who are these guys? Underground Development, they made Madden 96 on the Genesis, Space Invaders on the Nintendo 64. Maybe it's not the best developer out there. Oh, boy. Fox Sports College Hoops 99.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. All right. Hello. You can play this game. Dave Mirra. What does this game go for these days? On the PS2, it goes for like $5. So we're playing some cheap games right now.
I mean, I'm going to pass this game. I had a lot of fun with it. I don't think it's too crazy. I don't think the things I don't like aren't enough for me not to want to play it. The controls, I think, worked better than Perfect Dark Zero did for first-person shooter. So you can still do things in this game. You can still play.
I suppose I'll get behind you. I'll pass it to you. I'll be nice. I'll be nice. All right. So the third game is my pick. I've been wanting to play this with a podcast just to talk about it. I think it's top of my list for one of the best games of all time. If I'm just thinking about that kind of list here, it's the original Donkey Kong. The arcade, the everything, came out on ColecoVision as a launch title. I have this weird love with the original Donkey Kong and the wacky consoles it came out on in the early 80s. I myself have three copies of Donkey Kong. Even though I don't own a ColecoVision and I don't own an Intellivision, I have the cartridge because they're cheap. So it's like, why not have a nice little collection to it? But I have the Atari one. And I did play the ColecoVision version of Donkey Kong. Arcade came out in 81, and then it was a Coleco launch title. And it's one of the most successful games of all time. It's one of the most memorable. you, I mean, you could go through the levels in 30 minutes. You got, and come on, you got your barrel jumping, you got your ladder climbing, you got to save the chick at the top. Joey, Donkey Kong, yeah. Thoughts?
Harder than I remembered, but oh, I yeah, played it yeah, online. Yeah. So it's more about getting things wrong, like jumping for the hammer on the first level. I kept jumping and going too far to the left and falling to my death. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can do that.
And then you get to hammer, you're thinking, awesome, I'm good. Then you start, you forget about barrels falling down that also can hurt you. So then I died that a few times. So this game is hard, but I think if I really spend time on it, I could probably master it and put in the work. It's not like the mechanics are broken. It's just that I just need to get better and learn the game more. So
yeah, and it doesn't feel cheap. It's all about getting the points. But if you want to have a little fun and just kind of go through the three levels and do your best, hey, it's a tried and true formula at its core. And it definitely inspired a lot of other games that came out later. There's records with controversy behind Donkey Kong.
Yeah. You can watch with the King of Kong.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole thing.
Is this the first game of Mario?
Jumpman, yeah.
Jumpman. It wasn't called Mario yet?
It was not called Mario yet, no. It was Pauline and Jumpman. that's the whole thing. And Miyamoto designed it, so.
Wait, her name was Pauline?
Yeah.
So she had an Italian name, and then she becomes Peach,
yeah.
But then Mario becomes Italian, so
yeah.
They can't be Italian at the same time?
I guess not. That's a rule.
I'm going to say it's Mario and Pauline. That's who the love interest now. Fuck Peach.
She's a big cock tease anyways. Tired of her shit. Oh, you saved me. Here's a kiss. Here's a cake. Fuck you. Anyways, we went down a tangent there. I mean, you can still find Donkey Kong arcades in like random bars these days, along with a Pac-Man machine. It's weirdly one of my favorite games of all time, and I still love just popping on. I have my Atari, and Donkey Kong kind of just never leaves the cartridge slot. I love it so much. Just like, hard day at work, throw on some Donkey Kong, grab a beer, that kind of thing. I have a nice little heist. So I do a fun thing with myself with this game is if I ever play it, I have a high score written down and mm-hmm. I only have X amount of time to get to that score. So I've timed myself. I give myself like 15 minutes and I have to go through the three levels at least once in order for the high score to count. So you can kind of spam getting points for a while kind of deal.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little game I have with myself. And that's kind of what you wanted to do with yourself with games back then was create your own rules in the household. Like we used to do with Twisted Metal games.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can only use the ricochet bombs or you can't use the radar dish or, you know, in Donkey Kong, it's I have to go through the three levels at least once. I have 15 minutes to get as high a score as possible. That way I'm not there for an hour just doing monotonous things as well. Yeah. So you can do fun things. I recommend that one. Because I made it up. I'm sure people have made that up, though, as well. No doubt. And it's one of the few games from back then you actually feel like you beat. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, easy pass.
Yeah, I'm passing it.
All right.
On to the next.
On to the next
one. Mentioned Twisted Metal because this is cartoon Twisted Metal.
It Cell is.
For the Xbox.
Is this your pick? No, this was Colin's pick.
No, this, yeah. Came out November 15, 2001. And then in the EU, 2002. Published by EA. Developed by Pseudo Interactive.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I really like the artwork of this one. Like, it's so interesting that someone just, it looks hand-drawn and just thrown in there. It's like Twisted Metal, like I said, but cartoony, over the top, crazy. it looked like fun. I just honestly couldn't play it. I bought a copy, but I don't have an Xbox. Apparently can't play it on the PC. Every emulation I tried to find didn't come in the right format, so I just had to watch. Sadly.
So it's been re-released on Xbox One, Switch, various PlayStation platforms, including the Vita and whatnot. Like, it's on things. You can find it. It's a vehicular combat, and the big difference between this and Twisted Metal is, Twisted Metal, you have a life bar, and you try to take away that life bar shooting weapons. In Cell Damage, you have hit points. So you set a goal of like 300 hits, and you have to hit your enemies 300 total times in order to win the stage. And it's mostly focused on melee weapons coming out of your wacky cartoon car rather than projectile weapons that a Twisted Metal series would have. So that's the big shtick to it. So you have like chainsaws and baseball bats swinging around. And it's full cell. Shit. What's the term? It's slipping. Cell shading. Fuck. It's cell shading. It's full cell shading, and they do a cartoon technique of while you're going through various animations, you'd see like a cartoon stretch out the image. So in this, while you're turning, your car will stretch out and bend a little bit. So it's got a little wacky.
It looks like the car is wagging its tail. At least that's what I thought it was.
I like the level designs. There just wasn't enough levels to this. It wasn't enough variety for me. And this felt like it could have been such a cult classic masterpiece era thing. There was just not enough to it. And the gimmick was almost too heavy with it all. And what I mean by that is the cars were super fucking fast. I found it ridiculous to control. Almost impossible at times.
From when I watched, it looked like that.
Yeah. Oh, it felt like that too. Like it was overly tight and way too fast. So you just swing by enemies, and I could kind of see the idea behind it. If it was too slow, then you'd just hit an enemy each time. You'd never miss, which would make it too easy while you're in this kind of battle royale mode to it all. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation there. I think that's why the melee aspect is doesn't quite work the same as a projectile, because you can miss your enemies a lot more, and there's a sense of strategy to it. This was a popcorn game. That's what this was.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And I guess there's not much. I mean, my favorite level was easily the one between planets, where even if you jump off the stage incorrectly, the gravitational pull from like Saturn will pull you back onto the level, or you'll fall off a ring and it'll just kind of pull you back onto the stage. So there's no fall damage to it all. You even got that on some of the cliff levels, but you just fall off the cliffs like way too much, and it goes through this whole animation of coming off the guardrail and bouncing back up, and that got irritating. So that's also where the speed just has a major flaw in gameplay, and it gets overly frustrating.
Yeah, I can see that.
How much does this game go for? I closed out the video game price charting.
How dare you?
Cell Damage. $15 on the GameCube, $6 on the Xbox. I mean, if you're an Xbox collector, I would say it might be worth it. You always need a good party game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's worth the 15, but $6, yeah.
I think $5-$6 is a good price for it. Not 15, though.
Yeah. But I'm going to pass it. It seemed just enough fun.
I'll pass it in the sense it's a party game.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I can see that. I can see that.
I just wish it was a little better. It was very close to being like, this is great.
Are you ready for my pick?
Oh, God, Joey.
Well, you said we didn't play enough 64 games.
Oh, so we did not.
This one is not a launch title for the 64, and in US or in Japan. It was for Europe. FIFA Soccer 64, developed by EA Canada, because why not, and published by EA. Came out in North America March 31st, 97, and EU on April 97. So it didn't even come out in Japan, because I think they had their own J-League Live 64.
They also had, I think, Pro Evolution Soccer, PES. I think that's what it was.
This game wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was pretty bad.
It's still terrible, but I thought it would be way worse. I thought it would be unplayable. You can still actually play this game. It's very limited, very basic soccer, but you can play it.
I thought the frame rate was just killing me.
The menu's terrible, and I ended up playing Germany versus Germany, because why not?
Well, and I mean, you got to get Jürgen Klinsmann in there, don't you?
He scored against me.
He scores all the time.
They had one shot, and he scored. That's all they had, but I still ended up winning. But I don't like that they couldn't figure out conversions, so I played 4 minute halves, and it just went up to 4 minutes, and then stoppage time was still like another minute or two, so I ended up playing like a 10 minute game. But like, I was like, when they called half of 4 minutes, I was like, what the fuck? It's 4 minutes into the game. What do you mean?
I got a kick out of who was on the cover of this game.
Who is that?
It is Jordi Cruyff.
Oh.
It is the okay, you've heard of Johan Cruyff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the very famous, one of the best players of all time, Dutch striker. Well, this is his son, Jordi Cruyff, who played for Man U. He's on the cover of this. I'm like,
was he good enough to be on the cover?
I mean, if you're a hardcore Manchester United fan, maybe. But
do you know who he looks like? Just from the tiny image on Wikipedia? Peter Cabaldi. This is now going to be Peter Cabaldi's FIFA soccer.
Oh, man. You know what this game was? It was a port of the 3DO game.
Was it?
It was a port of the FIFA 3DO game, because EA was a 3DO exclusive dev until the 3DO went down, and FIFA was the... Like, that was the 3DO... I guess tech game, because each launch title also has like tech games, usually racing games. Well, FIFA functioned that for the 3DO, and that game. So I played this, and then I busted out the 3DO, and I put through in FIFA, and there's no frame rate issues on the 3DO one. It plays much faster, and like putting in cheat codes was just so super fun. The problem with FIFA 64 comparatively was you don't feel like your character has the ball. It's just in front of the guy.
Damn. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense, because I was on defense and I got in between the player and the ball, but yet somehow the player still controlled the ball, even though I was closest to it. So that was a little weird.
Yeah, it's very wacky.
It just decided if you actually got a challenge or not on defense. It's just like, we'll give you the ball this time.
Yeah, the goalkeepers on the 64 version, I found, just have no shot of ever blocking a shot on goal.
I beg to differ, because I was losing 1-0 at half. I shot 5 times. The goalie saved all 5. They shot 1 time and scored. And then the second half, my 2 shots went in. So
I had a vastly different experience.
Either I just really sucked the first half, or the goalie was just really amazing.
Well, you know what's the hardest thing on the player playing this?
What?
There's input delay because the frame rate's bad.
Fair enough. It's like just really hate one, that there was...
It ranges from 1 to 2 seconds.
Ooh, I don't think I experienced it that bad.
Yeah.
But I hate that you can't wait your passes. You just press the pass button and it just goes to who it thinks it should be, and it's based on the player's position and not the location where you are on the field. So correct. It made some really awkward passes. The through balls are just a harder pass.
There's no ball just the ball it. Never goes as far as you want it to. It just stops.
Yeah, it just goes to the player, annoying. So you can't actually send them through. I tried crossing it once. I hit the crossbar. I almost scored. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. even the AI is stupid. They kicked it out way too many times instead of passing it to their own player, so they can't even figure out how to pass.
Did you find that the animation between the ball going out and you got to throw it in was just overly long and irritating.
It's for a throw in.
Yeah.
Or the referee indicates throw in. It's okay.
Like, oh my God, I get it.
The animation when they're throwing it, like they're kind of holding the ball, but not really. And it just looks so awkward. But I thought the commentator was funny because I shot and he's like, that's embarrassing.
You don't say. I was fucking Jordy Cruyff.
Like, what the fuck, man? Why do you got to do that to me?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But this game is still playable. I thought it would be straight F. Like, I thought it would just be unplayable shit, but there is
I don't know, Joey. I found that the 3DO game was better. The 3DO version.
I mean, I'm not passing. I'm still failing this shit, but I think that it's still playable is what I'm saying. It's not the worst game we've played.
All right. FIFA 64 goes for about $8. I think that's too much.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
It's an easy fail.
Easy fail.
Our five games were Perfect Dark Zero on the 360, Dave Mira Freestyle BMX on the PlayStation 2, Donkey Kong on the Coleco Vision, Cell Damage on the Xbox, and FIFA Soccer 64 on the N64. I think this is pretty easy. Donkey Kong favorite, FIFA least favorite. Do you agree with this?
Dave Mirra will be my favorite. Oh, Dave Mirra. Okay. FIFA Soccer will be my least favorite.
All right. Perfect Dark gets a D. Dave Mirra gets a C. Donkey Kong gets an S. Cell Damage gets a C. And FIFA gets an F. I'm not fucking around today.
I'm going to agree with Perfect Dark. I'm giving a D. I'm going to give Dave Mirra a B. Okay. I'm going to give Donkey Kong an A. But I guess I can go S. I can see it being an S.
All right, give you an S.
I'll give you an S. Cell Damage to C, and I'm going to go D for FIFA because I think it's still kind of playable.
All right, so we'll just kind of...
I don't think it's broken like some of the games we played.
All right, we'll just kind of round up on these. So D for Perfect Dark, B overall for Dave Mira, S for Donkey Kong, C for Cell Damage, and a D for FIFA Soccer. Not bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, we're going to try to come up with a little different... I think we'll stick with a theme, but it might actually just be game-related. I haven't decided if we're going to just do three games from now on or go down to two. I haven't decided yet.
Do two.
Or just the host picks two games.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can do the host picks, and we can just play whatever they pick.
I think that might be a good idea. My picks. Yeah, what'd you think of my picks? What'd you think of like the two games I chose? Yeah, and then the episode titles will just be the two games. That could be an idea.
Yeah.
We'll brainstorm it a little bit, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Fine. I'm a devil. I'm a glitter girl. Drop.